Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, if you've ever wondered why fashion changes so quickly, you might find some answers out in the next few minutes. Have you ever wondered why a pop star can be the hottest thing one week and old hat the next? Have you ever wondered why it's almost impossible to keep up with technology? You know, the minute you've figured out how to use the latest gadget, it seems the newer, cooler one has superseded it already. Well, according to Mark Sayers, this cultural restlessness points to a deep anxiety about who we are. The more secular the world becomes, the more we are looking to image instead of God for our sense of self. And as a result, we're suffering an identity crisis. That's the premise of his new book. It's called The Vertical Self. And Mark is with us now. G'day, Mark.
How are you going?
I'm doing very well. Hey, congratulations on the new book.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good to have you here talking about it too. Now, you start your book with a story about a couple of girls you saw in Tokyo. They're called cosplay girls. I actually saw some of these girls when I was in Japan just in January. Now, this kind of changed your outlook and things. Just run through that story and how it kind of set the pace for what this book is about.
Yeah, I was there speaking with a friend at a conference, and we sort of went to this particular place, which is called Harajuku, and just walking through the sort of downtown there, and then these two girls just appeared around the corner, and one was dressed as a sort of, it's hard to describe, like a gothic porcelain doll. Mm-hmm. And then she was with this other girl who was sort of dressed like this sort of nurse in a nurse's outfit, and they were chained together with a giant chain. And I remember seeing them and I was sort of looking around thinking, this has got to be a TV show or something. Mm. And I didn't know about the whole cosplay thing. And then, you know, sort of looking, hey, is anyone noticing this? And realize what it is. It's a whole subculture where you sort of dress up in public and it's almost a public performance. But for me, you know, in a sense, this was an extreme example. But, you know, more as I've realized is that, you know, not just the people who do this cosplay thing are doing this, but all of us, in a sense, are putting on a public performance.
Mm. And we're dressing, acting, behaving, getting involved in whatever it might be to have that public performance recognized, really, aren't we?
Absolutely. And it's all about, I guess, you know, in our culture today, which, you know, as you mentioned, is a secular one where we can't look to, you know, what so much of our culture has for the last 2,000 years is, which is this idea that we're all created in God's image. So what we have to do now is we have to send these messages to our culture, or what I call horizontally, to those around us in order to get messages back. And so we have to create this identity, this sort of false self, if you like, to find that sense of who we really are.
Mm, all right, let's define those two phrases you use, the vertical self and the horizontal self. Just unpack the first one for us, the vertical self.
Yeah, well, the vertical self is really that idea that to find out who we are, we have to look upwards to God. And its essence is really in, you know, Genesis, which says that, you know, humans are created in the image of God. So in a sense, we're not bound by culture. We look out of it. So you can be a poor, you know, beggar by the side of the road with leprosy, and you know, the richest guy in town can drive by in a limousine on the way to make a multi-million dollar business deal. And you can look at Genesis and it can say, despite what my culture thinks of me, I'm the same as that guy with both creating God's image. Mm. But with that now gone, we now have this horizontal reality where that sort of looking upwards to God for a sense of self, any sense of the eternal, all of that is erased, and we live in this very immediate, temporary situation where we have to look to our peers and our culture for a sense of self. So we're captive to culture when it comes to finding out who we are.
Hmm. It's a result of a number of influences, that whole horizontal self thing, isn't it? The way that society, and, you know, obviously our own Australian society, but even Western society in general over the last 5-6 decades has actually changed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things, I think a lot of it was happening over several hundred years, but there's just been an absolute, I think, intensification, particularly since, you know, the end of the Second World War, you know, with the advent of the teenager, with, you know, movies and television and now the internet all taking off, as we've become a culture which is, I think, about the age of the image. It's all about image now. I think if archaeologists dig up our cities in how many thousand years, that, you know, they're going to notice how obsessed with images and creating images and manipulating images that we are.
Hmm. When you said the invention of the teenager, just unpack that a bit. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think what's interesting is, you know, before, you know, World War II, we didn't really have the understanding of teenager that we do now. But after World War II, we all of a sudden had this new age where before then, you know, kids often went into the workforce and often didn't even go to high school, let alone primary school. And all of a sudden you had this new group who was coming into adolescence and had a disposable income to spend. And marketers realised this, so they created this sort of in-between adolescence stage. You know, and if you look at that coming of age at the same time as, you know, Hollywood really taking off and television, it created this age where we became obsessed with image and finding identity, and that key adolescent development sort of got derailed there. And now that's not just about teenagers. That goes well past the teenage years, and we've got so many people almost stuck in this perpetual adolescence, or often say adolescence.
Fascinating. Mark Sayers is with us, author of The Trouble with Paris, and now this book, The Vertical Self. This is Open House across Australia. So we're forming our identity, our sense of self, our understanding of who we are by adopting bits and pieces of the culture around us, because we've lost that vertical relationship with God, because we've lost that vertical understanding. Well, actually, yeah, it's based on the fact that we are made in the image of God. And so now we're going and looking to the left and to the right and saying, how can I get my sense of identity from those people around me? Now, you've identified a few key types of the social self that we can choose from. Let me give you the phrase and then you can unpack it. The sexy self.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. If you look back to that sort of early period I talked about before, you get the creation of people like Marilyn Monroe, you get the creation of Brigitte Bardot, these women who Hollywood created, and almost what they were this false self of femininity, if you like. And Marilyn Monroe is particularly interesting in that, you know, she's born into a foster home. Her mother was too sick to look after her, and she was born, you know, this girl whose name is Norma Jean. She had auburn hair. And she looked to movies to create this sense of magic in her life, because her life wasn't that great. So she created this false self. She modeled herself on her sort of screen heroines, if you like, and put on this sexy act. You know, and we often think of her singing Happy Birthday, Mr. President, to, you know, John F. Kennedy, when the real Marilyn was actually quite a bookish girl who was very different. But she almost created that sort of sexy self, you know, which you see all throughout popular culture now. And so many young women feel the pressure of living up to that sort of false reality where you're creating a sense of power through using your sexuality.
Yes, okay. The cool self?
Well, cool's another fascinating one that has a very long history. And a lot of people wouldn't be aware that the idea of cool actually goes back to Africa. And it was really a persona that chieftains would often put on that was one of sort of calmness in conflict. And that came across to the United States with slaves who would often put that on in the situation they found themselves in, with particularly with slavery and racism. But then Hollywood jumped on that and popular culture, and you know, all of a sudden they got sort of twisted into, you know, James Dean, yeah. Rebel Without a Cause. And we just see that echoed throughout so much of fashion, popular music, and all of it is just a sort of photocopy of a photocopy of what happened sort of in that sort of first half of the 20th century. And it's very much this sort of detached person who looks at life, but everything they do is a construct to give off this thing that I'm cool, I'm in control, I don't care. It's a way, again, of having power and identity.
Mm. And now we've got cool hunters who actually go around looking at what is most cool, so it can actually be, adopted and manipulated to sell products.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Then the glamour self.
Well, glamour is a fascinating one as well, and I often talk about the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's, which sort of sets this up, you know, and you've got this young woman in the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's called Holly Golightly, played by Audrey Hepburn, who, you know, her real life is that she's this poor girl from the South, but she comes to New York City and reinvents herself as this glamorous party girl, and when she's down in the movie, she goes to the jewelry store Tiffany's and looks in and looks at all the wealth in there and the jewels, and she talks about it being this magical other place. And it's almost, as the secular culture takes off, glamour in some ways is almost a substitute for religion in some ways. It almost has that sense of mystery, of sacredness. And we see people, you know, in Australia, I just read recently that during the global financial crisis, our purchasing of luxury goods has actually gone up. Because, you know, people want that sense of mystery, otherworldliness. So it's almost like a secular version of that. So people project this Vogue magazine glamour to the world.
All right, Mark, hang on the line for a second, because we haven't finished the conversation. There's so many other questions, and I want to get back to those in just a minute. Hold on a sec. We're talking to Mark Sayers about this whole notion of how we build our identities, basically, these days, by what we wear, what we buy, and by, I guess, the social selves that we actually try to portray to others, rather than the original way that it used to be, where we understood ourselves as actually creatures of God. Right now we're talking to Mark Sayers, though. He's written this book called The Vertical Self. The whole idea is that we build our identity on instead of understanding ourselves as people made in the image of God as we used to, now we've kind of let go of that. And so we're looking to each other, we're buying things, we're kind of dressing ourselves up, we're trying to be cool or sexy or glamorous to try and say, this is who I am, I'm someone special. Mark, what is essentially damaging about that? I mean, some would actually say it seems to be working for a whole bunch of people and it's making them a lot of money. What's wrong with building your identity on those kinds of things that you just outlined?
I think what happens is that, yes, it is making some people a tremendous amount of money, but for the rest of us, you know, it creates this absolute dissonance between this false self that we're projecting and what's really going on the inside. You just have to look at Western culture and the amount of people suffering with mental health issues, depression, self-harm, suicide. So many of these things have connections to this problem. But the problem is that as you're doing this, you have to always keep up. That when you want to construct this self, if you want to play the cool thing, the sexy thing, the glamorous thing, you're always having to almost do one better than the other people in the room. If everyone around you gets cooler, you've got to get even cooler. You know, and aging and keeping up is tremendously difficult. You know, we begin to see this in the obsession in our culture with aging. So it becomes this thing where we find that we're acting all the time. And putting on this self, and we find ourselves under the judgment, if you like, of people around us, and it actually becomes this incredibly fracturing way to live. And it's frankly, I think, for a lot of people, actually really exhausting. You can perhaps pull it off when you're young, but the longer it goes on, it becomes incredibly damaging. And, you know, I've had stories of people come to me and, you know, talk about young people have taken their lives because of this stuff, because they couldn't put out this image all the time. So for me, part of, I think, what so many people are actually desiring is actually just for people to accept them as who they really are instead of putting out this act to the world.
I'd love to know if people have felt that. 1-300-40-2020. Has Mark basically just described you or the feelings that you've felt in the past of trying to keep up with appearances, trying to keep up with those around you, simply to have this sense of self, this sense of identity, I'm someone special? But boy, it's tough to keep up that performance all the time. It can also lead to a kind of narcissistic behavior too, can't it, Mark? I mean, we tend to then suddenly become the center of the world, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, our age is marked by narcissism that, you know, we haven't seen before, I think, you know, and technology and our culture is facilitating this, but we're just becoming increasingly obsessed with ourselves, increasingly obsessed with absolute minutiae of life, which, you know, past generations didn't even care about, but we've become so obsessed with ourselves because we've got to play this game all the time that, you know, it is like the story of Narcissus, yeah.
Okay, the church and Christians, have you seen this creep in?
Absolutely. I've seen it in my own life. And, you know, I think that, you know, part of any institution, the church included, feels this pressure, just as individuals do, to be cool, to be glamorous, to be sexy, in a sense. And you know, I think that, you know, in the church, part of the, you know, we can buy into the myth, if you like, of cool, that, you know, well, we, you know, have to then, you know, change our surface. We start playing this game where we want to send messages out to the world because we feel this sense of insecurity about our place in a secular culture. So I think churches and even Christian leaders can really get sucked into this whole thing.
How do you think that manifests itself in the Christian culture, if you want to use that phrase?
I mean, just to talk about one thing, leaders, you know, and I'm one of those people. You know, there's tremendous pressure now to market yourself, you know, to promote yourself as a brand, to dress in a certain way, to style yourself in a certain way, to Twitter, to do all this stuff. And I'm not saying those things in of themselves are wrong, but there's this tremendous pressure to push out this persona. And almost what we're seeing is leaders being pushed into celebrity. You know, we've seen this with politicians, you know, and we think we're seeing that with Christian leaders as well, to become celebrities. I think with the church, it's this thing that surface change, it's image-based change versus actual deep, you know, root and branch change.
Yes, it's very external, isn't it? It's very much about, as you've been mentioning before, it's very much about managing externals. It's managing image. It's managing appearance. And when it comes for Christians, their leader had a lot to say about externals versus the internals. Yeah, all right. Now, let's talk about then, how do we do this? How do we move away from the horizontal self and try to, you know, basically restore this idea of the vertical self in practice? Now, obviously, the first thing is we should say, well, let's recognize we are actually people made in the image of God. The second thing would straight away be, yeah, but how do you divest yourself of all that you've built up around you to say to the world, here I am, I'm somebody special?
And look, firstly, this I'd love it if there was some quick four-step program to something like this, but there's not. And I think the first, you know, often when I talk about this, people come to me and go, what do I do now? And my first response is, you've got to sit in the fact that you've created a false identity and own that, you know, and come to terms with that. And the second thing for me is it's part of the good news is not just that we're creating the image of God, but also I think what God promises in the future, you know, and you know, the Bible talks about, you know, that God coming back to redeem the world, to create a new heaven and earth, you know, and as a believer, I exist in the future, perfected by God. So for part of me too is going, yes, there is this idea that we're creating the image of God, but also I'm created perfect and made perfect by Christ. And part of it is walking towards that person, going, okay, that's the person I want to be, not creating this false self. And really what life is about is this journey towards becoming that person with Christ's help and focusing on those things. Because what happens once you do that? It takes your focus away from the temporal towards the eternal, away from the externals towards the eternal. And you start to see that life is about shaping character, you know, becoming the person that God wants us to be. So I'm encouraging people to return almost to the ancient art of soul crafting, of becoming completely different people, the people that God wants us to be.
You know, the verse that's really helped me out in the Bible that talks about just what you're talking about there is 2 Corinthians 3:18 that talks about us being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. I mean, that's actually part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus is that he's actually doing a transformational work in our hearts and our souls. It's still our personality, but it's his values and his characteristics that suddenly start to take hold, and the way that he responded to people and loved enemies and forgave and also had sometimes hard words to say, you know, when that time was actually right. That's what he's actually wanting to do in us. And I love the way you've put it. I mean, that's, again, restoring that vertical view, isn't it? It's looking at him rather than looking at who I can become to look so cool and glamorous and sexy to everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's that alternate vision, you know, which as you rightly point out, it's about becoming who we really are. It's not becoming less like us. It's actually becoming who we really are, in the sense we're still on the journey to find out who we really are.
Yeah, and we need a few other people around us that are going to help us on this journey too, isn't it? We can't do this alone.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think community is really key, you know, and for me, church is a community which is meant to embody this, where it's a place that, you know, anyone can come and truly be who they are and not have to play these games, and to encourage people to walk towards that vertical sense of self.
I want to get back to just, and we'll end on this, where we began with you having a look at those and seeing those cosplay girls, as they're known, over in Harajuku in Japan. These girls who basically model themselves on anime characters. And it's so true, isn't it? There's that spiritual law of life that we become what we worship. And if we kind of worship an anime character, we'll start to dress and act and kind of try to project that image to other people. If we start worshipping money, we're going to become like that, and we're going to become quite dehumanized in the process. Whatever it might be that we worship, we actually become like, and anything that takes the place of the one true God as revealed in the person of Jesus will always dehumanize us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the essence of idolatry. And it's interesting, the link between image and idolatry. You know, I think there's a very close link. And it's interesting, you know, the Bible says, don't make any images. And it's interesting, we often say that about idols. But, you know, it's a provocative question that there's something in there which says, watch out for the image, not just the idol, because the road between idol and image is a very, very short one.
Well, fascinating to talk to you, Mark. And you've certainly got us all thinking, I'm sure. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Mark Sayers, author of this book, The Vertical Self.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.